John saw while walking along, a lame man begging alms by the gate. Straightway they told, we've no silver or gold, but for you a great treasure awaits. Now such as I have give I thee in the name of our Lord. Rise up and walk, and be not amazed that a crippled was raised. It's through Jesus we do great things. Great things are in store for the child of the Lord.
And good afternoon. Thank you so much for being on board on a Thursday afternoon. Clear skies, 52 degrees on the outside. Not bad for December. And so glad to have you with us. Appreciate the goodness of the Lord here on the fifth day of the month of December 2019. All right. Thank you so much for being on board. Let's see if we can get you home this afternoon, get you some instructions how to get from point A to point B. Well, it's not as bad as it was yesterday. It's not great today, but it's not as bad as it was yesterday. We've got the first thing, let's try to get out of town on 26 coming eastbound. It's slow in the junction, and then it goes to moderate, and you'll stay moderate till about almost before you get to the airport, and then it clears up. And so it's 5 o'clock rush, but it's not that bad today. On the other side, you've got some slowdown between 280, but it'll clear up time you hit the parkway. And so it's slow to moderate going back in. Then you're clear to get into the junction. Junction is backing up. I'm not sure why. It's westbound. I'm trying to go west on 40. So it's backed up a little bit right there. And we're going to be thick traffic almost to exit 43 this afternoon. Biltmore is something we need to talk about. Apparently there's a wreck, I-40 westbound on the Biltmore Estate. And it is between I-26 and 25. And it's there in the forest. It's got traffic slowed up. It's right in there around the old racetrack. It's where the wreck has happened. And it's got it backed up all the way back to 25A, Sweeten Creek. So some delays there. And, of course, that's going to put pressure on 25 and 25A as people try to take alternate routes. And so they're busier than usual this afternoon. We have about normal for this time of the day through town westbound, but we're backed up a little further than normal over around the Asheville Mall. Coming out, you're fine, but trying to go west, that's where your issues are. Coming down from UNCA looks fine, and the bridge is okay. Everything looks good there in town. But, again, you slow down once you get out to the junction. Sardis Road, I don't know what's going on, but it is backed up. It's a parking lot today. And I don't know, again, don't know exactly why, but Sardis Road is a parking lot. That I can tell you. As we look at Sandy Bottom, not bad. Not bad at all. Matter of fact, suspiciously good. Yeah. And then Avers Creek, about like normal. If we get on out here, let's see. Well, we're pretty good on 280 there around the airport. That don't look too awfully bad. And overall, pretty good shape. There is a wreck I'm seeing here. It's 280 westbound. It's going to be just before you get to the Mills River intersection. I don't see any backups from it, so it must not be obstructing traffic. Or maybe it's not at this point. Maybe it was earlier. Don't know. So I can't tell you a whole lot more about it than that right there. I was looking toward Tennessee. We're still good that direction. As we move west, looks like the whole western end in pretty good shape. Yeah, I believe it is. And let's see what else we can tell you here. The mountain looks good. I'm thinking about both directions. We're not bad there at all. All the way up into Tennessee. Pretty good shape. So let's drop off to Greenville. Greenville looks almost identical to yesterday. Pretty close. The difference is today 385 south is worse. All the way down to 285. So some backup all the way back to the mall down that direction. And backed up through town, going southbound to clear 185. and, of course, from the airport, that section coming down. And but northbound, you look to be pretty good shape. Same thing as Spartanburg, you got your normal between 176 and 26 westbound, 585. Slow this afternoon, but the rest of it seems to be in pretty good shape. All right, let's look at some temperatures around the area. We're looking at 57, 55. There's a 53 here up on the plateau and the Flat Rock. If you go up on the tops of the mountains, let's see how much differential there is today. Not that much. We're seeing some already in the 40s. Bakersville showing 44. Boone looks like is coming in at 44. And the coldest one I can find is Beach Mountain, and they're coming in at 39. Yeah, that's the coldest spot that I can find this afternoon. But all together, all in all, not too bad here. And then if you drop down to the upstate, they're running ahead of us 6, 7, 8 degrees, depends on who you talk to, throughout the Greenville-Spartanburg area. So we're talking low 60s for the most part in the Greenville-Spartanburg area. Let's see what the weatherman says about what's going to take place for the upcoming week. We can see out about 7 days. And I started talking yesterday a little bit about rain for the latter part of the weekend and the first part of next week. And it looks like that has intensified a little bit. So the chances of that are improving. We have a little chance of rain tomorrow night. Not bad. 53 for tomorrow. It's 36 tomorrow night, so not a real bad chance of anything. 51 Saturday should be nice. 34 Saturday night. 49 on Sunday, but we do have that slight chance of rain for the Rosman Parade. Brevard Parade, Hendersville Parade looks good at 51, partly sunny. Sunday night, that increases. 60% chance, 40 degrees is the low. On Monday, 50% chance of showers, 57. And on Monday night, 80% chance of showers and the low around 50. And then as I'm looking on out in the extended forecast way out there, still raining Tuesday, about a 70% chance. And then once it clears Tuesday night, you're going to see a cooler, colder latter part of your week. It's going to be dry, but you're talking highs only in the 40s. Lows at night in the 20s. So the latter part of next week is going to feel more like December for sure. And it's time. Yeah, it is. It's time that happens. It is indeed time. And of course, with sunshine and 50 degrees, most people don't think about time to get prepared for winter. We kind of wait till things happen. But bottom line, there's a lot of things that need to happen early, need to happen now, that you can go ahead and get ready for. And one of the things that we have experienced is that anymore, if the power goes out, then you have to plan on being out for a while, because it seems like the restoration times or it takes longer than it once did. And so, of course, there's more people than there were, and so that may have something to do with it. But nevertheless, sometimes now some minor things, a tree down, a pole broke, can go on into a couple of days. So you have to make preparations along those lines. It never fails every winter that somebody will call me and say, "Preacher, can you call a power company and help them get my power back on? We're on oxygen, or I've got this health issue or this health issue, and we need the power back on." Well, if you live on the end of the line, if the line's down, 17 places between you and town, you can't come turn the end of it back on. It's not the way it works. You got to fix the first one, and then you go fix the second one, and then you go fix the third one, and you work your way from the substation out, and, it could be a week before you get power. So the blessing of being able to live out away, of course, is, with solitude, and don't have to fool with, all the problems of town, but the downside of that is that you're going to be the last one to get your power back on. And it doesn't matter what kind of a medical emergency you have. They'll just tell you, call 911. You know, if you've got a medical emergency, call 911. So two things you can do. You either make preparations of your own, either a generator or battery backups or a combination or solar or whatever that you put together. And there are some pretty good plans that you can do. Then the other side of that is that you can have an evacuation plan so that when the big storm comes, you go down to your daughter's, who lives closer to town. They've got wood heat, or they've got a generator, and you make those kind of preparations. And so you need to think about those things, and you don't wait until it hits. You get in place before the storm hits. Now, I don't have a storm in sight right now. That's the reason I can talk about this. But if you will remember, a year ago this weekend, we got 17 inches here in the valley, and we got 24 inches up in the tops of the mountains, 2 feet. And I can tell you that there was very little that was getting around without getting stuck. Now, we got around, but we stayed stuck about as much as we stayed on the road. So just saying that even folks who have to get out and go, when it gets so deep, even those things don't work real well. So, yeah, make preparations. But I also want to mention this to you. And now we're not trying to be the knight in shining armor. I guess it's more because of a phobia that I have. And I guess you'd call it that. You might even call it a little bit of an obsession. I don't like to be restricted. I don't like to be hung. I got hung under a floor one time and I about kicked the floorboards out. I mean, I panicked. I can't stand that. You know how sometimes people come up behind you and grab you and hold your arms? That don't work with me at all. No. I've got a fear of that. I go into combat mode when somebody does that. And I don't like not being able to get out. I can't stand it. Never have been able to stand it. I just, somebody said, oh man, we get snowed in. We just stay by the fire and drink hot chocolate. Not on your life. No. Hadn't never happened. One time, a couple of years ago, I had the flu during a snowstorm so bad that I had trouble getting to the door to get food and medicine that they brought us. And that's the truth. My wife and I had it so bad that honestly didn't know if I'd live. And that's the truth. That's how bad we were. And so I said, what do you call an ambulance? Too sick to go to the doctor. And the other part was, where I live, I'm up on top of a mountain. They couldn't have got to me, I don't think. They would have with some wing eventually. But it would not have been a fun ride down, I can tell you that. So we try to get out. We go, and we try to be of help. And within our FM broadcast audience here this afternoon, we respond. Now, we're not first responders. We're not the fire department. We're not EMS. That's not what we are. That's not what we do. But in our disaster relief, we go all over. We go to Florida. We go to the Bahamas. We go all over in disasters. Well, you get a big enough snowstorm, it turns into a disaster around here, especially when the power goes out and it turns off blue coal. And by the grace of God, we have been trying to assemble an arsenal of cold weather vehicles that we can get out in the deep snuff stuff. And through some gifts that came in last year, we just sat down and talked about what the needs were. You know, we had one plow and it busted. And so we were stuck for almost 2 days. In other words, we couldn't plow. We couldn't get out to folks. We had one four-wheel drive Suburban running. That's all we had. But the plow was completely inoperable. Thank the Lord, finally got it fixed on up in the storm. But it was to the point that, I couldn't even get in and out of my driveway. Couldn't get, it was pretty bad. And of course, I was on one of these UTVs, a side-by-side four-wheeler. Got a call to go to the top of Jeter Mountain. They said it was right on the top to get an expecting lady and her children off the top of the mountain. Had no power. They were cold. Had nothing to eat. So that was the plan. End up going almost all the way across Jeter Mountain, down on the backside. And there was snow in places 24 inches deep. And that UTV got stuck more times than I can count. And we were the load of kids in the bed of the thing. An expecting lady sitting beside me, holding one in her lap. And I'm fighting that thing. It's up off the front tires are up off the ground because I'm pushing so much snow up underneath the thing. So the front tires aren't even pulling because they're just in the air. So I can't even steer it. So it'll run off the road. So I have to stop and back it up and saw it back and forth. And then I hit it again. And then I'd go as straight as the road was. Then I come to another curve. I'd have to stop and do it again, back up. And it was having to make road as we went because it was so deep. Boy, I tell you, I got off the mountain. I didn't think I was going to make it. I thought I was going to be rescued. That's how bad it was. And my shoulders were killing me fighting that thing. So we talked about that on the radio, talked about how that, you know, down here, a 24-inch snow is big snow for us, especially in the mountain terrain that we have. I mean, I'm looking just across the valley here. Jeter Mountain rises over 1,000 feet, and it's almost straight up. I mean, we'll go from 2,100 here at the studio. Our transmitter sets at 3,000. And you better have something good, fellas, if you go into our transmitter site, and we have to go. I mean, we just have to. You have to tend the generator. You have to go. There's not like it's optional. You have to do it. So we put out the call and told the need. And we now have a snowmobile, a snow machine. And it is a two-man machine. It is a 650cc. It has an extreme amount of power. And it can pull a sled. And so it doesn't get too deep a snow for it. You can go in deep snow with it. And so, you know, the deeper, I mean, you can turn it over in deep snow, but if you'll stay going and stay up on the snow, you can go over an endless amount of snow with it. And so it is something that we've added. We also have a 9.2-foot V-plow. And this thing is configurable. We can turn it into a straight plow. We can angle it right, angle it left. We can also turn both wings back and make a V out of it and make it as wide as the truck so that you can plow through snow drifts up to 4 feet deep with it and go right through them, throw the snow to both sides. You can even throw the wings forward and make it like a V forward and push snow and actually pick it up and pile it on a pile if you're cleaning a parking lot with it. Fascinating little invention, and never got to use it. It's brand new. And again, some of our contributors saw the need for that. And so, but the truck that thing goes on, we've got some issues with that truck. We're trying to change the bed on it, and so it's out of commission right now. So we're working on it. We are definitely working on it and trying to get ready for that. We've also been a part of the arsenal. We have an 18,000-pound winch that's actually removable. It can be put on any of the vehicles. It takes two men to do it, but it turns any vehicle with a Reese-type hitch into a wrecker of sorts. And it will. The biggest thing is trying to keep the pull vehicle still because it'll pull you off in the hole with somebody. That's how much power the thing has. And so, you know, We're thinking about those things. We make preparations for those things. We even have little buddy heaters. We had a gift come in several years ago and said, I want this spent on disaster locally. And so it was spring of the year, and we walked into Lowe's, and here sat an entire pallet. We'd had a mild winter, and they had little buddy heaters on sale for about half price. I asked them, what would you take for the whole pallet? And they gave me a price that I couldn't refuse. We bought the whole pallet. And so we have those, and that we can loan for folks that, if there's not a shelter open and folks have to stay in their homes, then we can loan those out. They won't heat a whole house, but they will heat a room. And you can get in one room, shut everything up, and you can stay. You can survive, but that way they provide light, and they also provide heat. They will not cook anything, but they provide light and heat. So just a few of the things. You know, we don't have enough generators to loan everybody one. We have a few, but usually they're in, you know, in critical situations. We use them in critical situations for folks. Oftentimes, you know, if you've got a whole community that the well, there's no power, they have no water because they don't have no well, you know, the well doesn't have a generator, we can power that generator up on that well, and that, what that gives the whole community water. So that's a wise use of a generator, you know, that type of thing. So, you know, that's what we're talking about. In our 10-year plan, we have plans for generators on all of our facilities. That may take us 10 years to get there. They're very expensive. It's like buying cars almost. But the Lord willing, the one we have on Building B, it has been probably the biggest blessing. We haven't needed it that much, but when you need it bad. It's kind of like insurance. You don't need insurance till you need it. And when you need it terribly bad. And so that's kind of the way we are with generators. We have a new one that's a Cummins turbocharged, runs on diesel. It cranks. It takes over the building. It takes care of everything. It's a real blessing. Runs on diesel fuel. And it'll run for about a week without us even having to check the fuel on it. So it's an extended run type. Our hope is to have one of the just like that down on the warehouse and be able to power that building as well for evacuations and for shelter and things of that nature. We're hoping to do the same thing at the tower site. The tower site currently has a generator that's not big enough to power us at full power. But the Lord will, over the next 10 years, part of our legacy plan, we are trying to put in a brand new 250,000-watt generator, 250,000 watts, with an extended run tank, and that we can bring on the full 50,000-watt AM720 and run it 24/7, 365, if needed. Because this state, the AM, reaches unbelievably at night. It can actually become a regional station. It can cover the entire southeastern United States at night. It has done that in under emergency conditions. And there's a provision, 73.1250 is the provision that allows that to happen under emergency conditions. A lot of people don't realize that that AM 720 is as large a station as you can license in the United States of America. We've hit the max. We'll never have another power increase. You can't get bigger than that. 50,000 is as high as they go. Yeah. And so we've kind of got the things reversed. Most folks have a little AM and a great big FM. Ours is just the opposite. We have the great big AM, big as you can get. And then we have the local FM that just covers the local communities. And then, of course, the worldwide, WGCR.net. So just so you know, we're making preparations. We're working on all these things. And our hope is that we don't have to do it before Christmas. Our hope is that we don't have to, you know, our hope is we don't have a crippling storm all year long. But I can tell you this. Already, the one that just came through was Ezekiel. So in other words, there have been A, B, C, D, E. There have been 5 named winter storms. And it's only the 5th of December. Yeah. Only the 5th of December. And so for that reason, there's good reason to say, hey, all it's going to take is that jet stream to dip down in the center of the United States like it always does in the wintertime. Throw one of those Rocky Mountain storms down into Texas. It drops off into the Gulf, gets revved back up, and then here it comes up the eastern seaboard. Oh, yeah. Going to happen. Just a matter of time. It's going to happen. And every year that we go away from 1993, everybody talks about 93, 26 years ago, every year that we go away from that, we're over a quarter century now, every year that we're away from that increases the likelihood of having another one. They called it the storm of the century, but they're also telling us now that that type of storm, the day was that, I mean, not in our lifetime. We'd not seen anything develop exactly like that. But we've seen a number of those almost. So things have changed. With weather patterns changing the way they have, things have changed. They used to be like that. Apparently, in the late 1800s, the snowfall was phenomenal this part of the world. And before records were kept, the old-timers talk about snowfall so deep that panthers could get on the roof of the house. That's deep snow here in western North Carolina. So, I mean, but it's just accumulative snow. It snows every week. I remember it snowed every Wednesday for a month. You remember that? Oh, yeah. So just a matter of time, just a matter of time. Well, I just realized that I hadn't finished my day book. So let me drop back and say that our AM today was sponsored by Randy and Margaret Camp in honor of Randy's birthday. And they thank the Lord for everything he does for them. And we appreciate Brother Camp. And then 94.9, the Anchor Broadcasting Network, all of the GCR.net, the preaching channel, the music channel, the video channel, being sponsored by Brian and Melissa Golden. It's in honor of their 21st wedding anniversary. And God bless you. Let's see. Anniversaries today, Ernest and Edna Brown, 55 years. Way to go. Congratulations. Reminds you of the parades. The Hendersonville Parade, 10:30 Saturday morning. And, of course, and then the Brevard Parade at 3 p.m. If you want to join us, we'll be at Eldridge Tire and Service Center, downtown Brevard, and we'll be broadcasting live from there. You can watch us on Facebook, on WGCR.net. You can also watch us on our church page, and we'll be broadcasting live. And then on the Rosbin Parade, we'll be out about 2 o'clock on Saturday, December the 8th. Okay, so that's all coming up this weekend, a big weekend. Our staff banquet, our Christmas banquet is tomorrow night. I got to go home and fill out Christmas cards tonight, yeah, for all of the staff. That's got to happen. And a lot going on, busy time. And then I'll go ahead and mention, I'm going to be out next week. Last year, we got snowed in for our 40th wedding anniversary. And so we it was during that storm. And so we are going to, we're leaving town. Lord willing, and in good weather, we leave in town. We'll be gone next week. But next Friday night, now week from tomorrow night, I want to invite you to Anchor for a Christian Christmas Carol adapted from the play by Charles Dickens. And it begins at 7 p.m. in the downstairs cafetorium at Anchor. And there'll be the Christmas program, and then it's highly dramatized with sets and costume, and it's well done. And that will be on Friday night. And then we'll have light refreshments following. Everyone's invited to come and be with us. And if you miss the Friday night edition, then we don't want you to miss church, but you're welcome to come to the Sunday night encore performance. Sunday night the 15th, 6 p.m. will be curtain time. 6 p.m. curtain time here at Anchor for the encore performance of A Christian Christmas Carol adapted from the play by Charles Dickens. All right, this afternoon, welcome Alaska, Florida, Honduras, Georgia, Illinois, Mississippi, Missouri, North Carolina, Ontario, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia and Wyoming. Welcome aboard all. Glad to see you with us here this afternoon. All right. Let me mention also this coming Friday night, the Victory Baptist Friday Night Jubilee, and December the 6th, Brother Tony Lambert from Cathus Creek is preaching. They start at 7:30. They start pray at 7:15. Food and fellowship following the service. Again, that's this coming Friday night, tomorrow night at Victory in Hendersonville. All right. Thank you. Let me drop down here. Okay, the Mills River wreck, the cars are off the road. Okay, thank you for sharing that with me. 4412, good to see you. And no, there's no snow in the forecast. No, I was talking about, that's why I said I can talk about storm preparation and getting prepared for winter because there's none in the forecast. You know, we're clear, we're good. And so, and while we have this good weather, now's the time to prepare. Don't wait till the day that You know, the day they start calling for it, you couldn't find a snow shovel. You couldn't find a bag of ice. You couldn't find bread nor milk, you know. And so make preparations now, you know. And, you know, so, all right, do that for me, okay? And we may only be on Facebook on the parade, I think is what they're saying. Maybe not on all the channels, maybe just on Facebook. So you can join us on Facebook for the Facebook broadcast for the Saturday parade, okay? All right, good, good. Where are we here? It's 15 till. Okay. Well, again, we're grateful for all the Lord has done and all the Lord is doing. We've been working on a 40-foot container. We have close to 1 million Book of Romans in the Spanish language, and they are up in Beckley, West Virginia. And so we have been working to see how we're going to get that shipped. We also have about 250,000 tracts that have been printed over in Dayton, Tennessee. We have a pallet of hardback Bibles that came in here from, Gulfport, Mississippi, and to ship. And then we're also have bought some paperback Bibles for $2 a piece. You have been gracious and have helped us to do that, and we appreciate that. All of this heading for Venezuela. And so we've been working on that throughout the day today, trying to get all that lined up about getting the Bibles to Miami or else getting the container to West Virginia, one of the two, and then how we're going to get them beyond that. And so been working on that. Our shipper's been in customs meetings today and a variety of things, trying to get some of that stuff squared away. And so we're grateful. You know, we're grateful that, we're grateful that that's, that all that's coming together. So we're very grateful for that. Also, our food boxes, our hope boxes going in, food and medicine. We've shipped 42. We've got about 35 ready to go. And so that's going to be happening here. And so we're looking for that, looking to that to happen here in the near future. Today we packed the backpacks for the school system for Christmas, a bigger than normally, bigger than normal distribution and some stuff to try to sustain the kids over the holidays and so while they're out of school. So that's all that has gone on today. Plus the warehouse was open, so pretty busy. I'm sorry, I hit the microphone. That sounded like a thunderstorm, didn't it? It's pretty rough in my ears, too. Yeah, it was. Let me change gears here. And something I just saw, I had not seen this come in. Well, it came in a few minutes. I just didn't see it. There is a new approval rating was taken. And it was taken, it was concluded today. And it's the same day that Nancy Pelosi said that she is going to do her best to impeach the President of the United States. She said that Democrats will proceed with articles of impeachment against President Donald Trump. On the same day she announced that, the president's approval rating jumped to 52%. It's the highest level in more than 2 months. The Rasmussen Report's daily presidential tracking poll for Thursday shows that 52% of likely U.S. voters approve of President Trump's job performance. Only 47% disapprove. And so this is a 3-point improvement from yesterday when 49 approved and 50 disapproved. So at 52%, this is the highest daily number since the 24th of September. And so his numbers are up. Interesting. 52% of men, the 52% approval was driven by men voicing their approval of Trump 59% to 40%. More women disapprove, 53% to 46%. 31% of black likely voters voiced approval for Trump on Thursday. 67% disapproved, but 61% of all other minority voters, including Hispanics, approved of Trump, while only 38% disapproved. And so Trump's approval rating was also a net positive among white voters, 53% to 46%. Wow. Would you have thought that? No. I would not have thought it. I just would not have thought it. I would have, I'd have thought it'd been the other way around. Wow. Interesting. Very interesting. So the president's approval ratings up. Of course, so were the unemployment rate was down. The employment rate was up. Numbers from the economy up. And the president himself said some things that shot the rally in the stock market. He shot that in the foot by talking about, he said to someone that he didn't know that it may not be till after the next election before that we get a trade deal with China ironed out. Well, that's not what they wanted to hear. No, the market did not want to hear that. So it caused the market to take a real swing. And so, yeah, it was not a favorable one at all. And so that has hurt the markets here in the short run. But overall, I'm still amazed to see what's going on. The price of oil, while it's not as cheap as we'd like for it to be, it's still fairly stable. It took a real dive at the beginning at the end of the month, but it has climbed back out. It dropped to almost 55, but it's climbed up now to over 58. And that's where it's trading today. But if you look at where it's been, 52-week range, it's been as low as 42. It's been as high as 66. So, yeah, a little above middle range, but it's still decent, especially given all the uncertainty in the Middle East and all the other things going on. Heating oil traded at $1.93 today. Natural gas, $2.42 per therm. Unleaded gas, $1.62. And Brent crude trading at $63. So the British oil was trading about $5 higher than the American Texas Light Sweet. So about right. That's about normal. Gold has come down. Gold has got as high as $1,500 in the past 52 weeks. It's been $1,566. Gold today was down about $2, $1,481.10 an ounce. Silver, it just didn't do a run like gold did. It's still up. It's 1702, but it's been up to about 19, but the low is only about 14. Platinum, still struggling. Platinum's down to, it's less than 900 today. Lost a little bit today, so it took it down to under 900. 778 is the low, 1,001 is the high. I'm amazed at that one. Platinum used to be more valuable than gold. So, yeah. And copper, about 267. And as I look at, at beef prices, look at all the consumer, don't see a whole lot to worry about as far as, prices really going anywhere. They look fine for right now. The Dow, 27,677. The NASDAQ, 85,70. And the S&P, 3,117.43. Yeah. Big gainers today. Apple, up 1.41. Yep. GE was off today, almost a full percentage point. Google was up. Microsoft was up. The one thing that's really hurting as far as folks that are trying to live on interest or trying to, they've got their money in something other than the market, is that the interest rates, the 10-year yield right now it's 1.8 is all. It come up 0.02 today, but that's still nothing. Did you know that the short-term stuff, that you'll get a better rate on short-term product than you will on the long-term? Right now. You know how if you tie it up for 3 years, 5 years, if you're buying CDs and stuff, that you get more, the longer you let them have it, the more you get for it, right? Not now. Not right now. They'll pay you more in the short term than they will on the long terms, or about the same. Nobody wants to get out there and reach that far out. No. And I can tell you this. If they are successful in impeaching Donald Trump, if they impeach Donald Trump, you will see a spiral in the markets. I'm talking about big time. You'd see massive spiral, and there could be losses that could easily match those of, you know, the decade ago. And that's not my prediction. There are a number of key folks who are watching this thing very closely, and they're saying that, you know, the reversal on so many things, if they were to reverse the tax cuts, reverse a lot of the other stuff, you're talking about putting this nation into a tailspin. And so we're hoping that that's not the case. So I said, well, it's not doing that good. Well, savings accounts are not doing that good because interest is so cheap. But in the market, do you really want to know? In the market? This is today's numbers. The Dow has averaged 18.65% year to date. The NASDAQ has averaged 29.17% year to date. And the S&P 500, 24.36 to date. Folks, those are staggering numbers. Thank God they're there, because there's some people that lost everything in their 401ks, and they actually may be able, to recoup some of that they lost in the last decade. So, oh yeah, we're watching that with great concern. And it could be very, very bad for the United States economy. And the other thing is, the one thing that the market hates is indecision. And so if they drag this thing out, Trump said today, he said, if you're going to impeach me, do it. Do it. Let's go for the trial in the Senate. Let's do this. That's not what this is about. It's not about doing it. It's about fixing it so that you can't run for re-election, fixing it so that you can't be re-elected, because the Republicans have nobody else that they could put in at the last minute. And if he's impeached, then obviously he cannot run. If he's been impeached, if they were to find him guilty, he'll be removed and will be ineligible for, you know, again. And there's no one in the wings. And I don't think Mike Pence would have a chance following an impeachment. So that's what this is about. So it has nothing to do with getting him out right now, other than stopping him from having an eight-year president. And that's what this is about. So anyway, all right, we got to go. We need to pray. We need to pray for our country. We need to pray for our president. We need to pray for those in Congress that supposedly represent us. Not that they represent their own selves and their own interests, but they would represent us as they are sworn to do. Okay? Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask that your divine intervening hand be upon our nation. Help us, Lord, as we seek to know the mind of Christ. Lord, may your will be done. We thank you for your mercy and grace. Save the soul that's nearest hell. And Lord, I pray for that one, that their hope is only in this world. May they understand how quickly everything that we know, as we know it, could change. And then, Lord, where would they be? Lord, you may split the eastern sky before dawn, and then they'd be left behind to face hell on earth. Lord, spare that one that's nearest hell. Lord, save them just now and meet the need of every heart. Touch those